If you're wondering what I'm gonna do for you, I'm gonna melt you with sunshine, cool you with the moon.
Heard the song Hypnotize from Bing Jialing from a brand new record. It's called Shadow to Shine here on KPFK's Melting Pot. And we are very fortunate to have man himself in our studios. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's definitely our pleasure. You're here for a number of days here in Los Angeles area, playing some shows, also doing some DJ gigs.
Yep.
And we have you here to perform a couple songs, too.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll just send it to you for a couple songs. Once again, this is Bing Jialing here on KPFK's Melting Pot.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Are you feeling new? Ooh, you've got one thing to do. Time to get a move on. You've got to get a move on. Time to get a move on. As you get out of bed, get out of your head, forget why you're in, oh, and feel it instead. Time to get a move on. You've got to get a move on. Time to Time to get a move on. Was Move On. Every time you look my way, I'm shaking. I can feel my heart beating on the floor. There's no second chance it should be taken. I'm leaving with you when you walk through that door. Girl, you're so fine. Blowing my mind, baby. Girl, you're so fine. Blowing my mind, baby. Dancing on the floor, we're getting close. I can feel my heart beating next to mine. You got me wanting more, but it's not over. I think it's getting close to being that time. Girl, you're so fine. Blowing my mind, baby. Girl, you're so fine. Blowing my mind, baby. Darling, you gotta be my sunshine love. One, two, kiss and hug. Be my sunshine
Just heard a couple songs from Bing Ji Ling performing live in our studios, and we're going to sit down for a moment and talk for a bit. This record was the first time that I heard you, at least kind of realize and getting ready for the interview in this kind of persona. Uh-huh. There's been multiple projects that you've been involved with over the years, though. I realized, he's on that. Oh, yeah. He was on that too. Oh, he worked with him. Like, he's with Cool Chris and Copa. That
yeah,
was him.
Huh? Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it was kind of funny to me to realize all these different ways that you were connected to all this other music.
Uh-huh.
But can we talk a little bit about this particular project and how it came together, and especially how you ended up choosing the name Bing Jiling?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, Bing Jiling is sort of is a persona that I adopted after living for about a year in Shanghai, China.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over there to play in a jazz club. It was like a jazz blues club. When I first arrived, one of the girls that was working in the bar, she said, "What's your name?" I said, "My name's Quinn."
Mm-hmm.
She said, "Your name cream like ice cream?" I said, "No, it's Quinn, not ice cream, not cream."
Mm-hmm.
So she said, "Ta-jiao Bing Jiling, his name is Bing Jiling." And she started telling everybody. And everybody, they thought it was so funny that Quinn was so close to cream. They started calling me Bing Jiling. The taxi drivers started calling me Bing Jiling. And so I just came back after being there for a while, came back to the States and told a few friends. And they started calling me Bing Jiling. And I'd been working on music for years, you know, mm-hmm. since junior high school, really.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was ready to really make the recording process very seriously and make records on my own as opposed to with a band.
Mm-hmm.
So I started started working on my first record around 2000, mm-hmm. that long ago. And worked with a guy named Merkley from mm-hmm. San Francisco, who mm-hmm. was a good friend and sort of a mentor and a producer for those early records. And when we decided to debut that music, he said, you know, why don't we give you this whole persona, you know, as opposed to just being Quinn Luke, let's do this Bing Jiling thing. And, mm-hmm. and we came out of the gate with a whole sort of stage show and persona and this mysterious bio about me being born on the back of an ice cream truck. And
uh-huh.
and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And it was a big production. So mm-hmm. that's how Bing Jiling was born. But really Bing Jiling, of all the projects that I'm involved in, Bing Jiling is just me, mm-hmm. me and my songs. You know, I collaborate with people. I produce dance music. I back people up. I do all sorts of things. But Bing Jiling is me writing my heartfelt songs and singing them.
Cool. You know, in listening to this record, in some respects, it's sort of hard to classify. I'm really tempted to call it kind of this breezy bit of kind of postmodern soul. But then there are these touches of a little bit of disco in there, some kind of heavy funk, some heavy psych
mm-hmm.
in there too. It's some acoustic kind of soul, kind of mm-hmm. like what you're playing today.
Mm-hmm.
How would you best describe the sound of this particular project, Bing Jiling?
You know, well, Bing Jiling, this record is something very new for me because I've released, I wrote, performed, recorded, mixed everything. Mm-hmm. A couple of other records. Did everything by myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Two full length records and an EP. And the first two, Merkley was working with me on those. But it was more of a kind of bouncing ideas off. But I had done everything by myself, and that I kind of would classify as soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was sort of, I couldn't do it anymore. I needed to work with other people.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to play all the instruments and do all that stuff. So I wrote a bunch of songs like you hear that I performed today. I wrote those versions of those songs and gave them to two producers.
Okay.
Who are good friends of mine and who I also play with in Phenomenal Hand Clap
uh-huh.
Band, Daniel Kolias and Sean Marquand, and just gave them the acoustic versions like that
yeah.
and said, you do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You decide if this song is going to be acoustic postmodern soul, or if it's going to be acid rock, or if it's going to be disco, whatever you want. So they're the ones that kind of took my music and what I do and turned it into that.
Hmm.
So I think that yeah, you kind of nailed it. You know, that's what it is. There's it's soul music
yeah.
really at its root,
at its core. Yeah,
at its core. But it's there's some, you know, some of the music that we really looked to as inspiration was, you know, Arthur Lee and Love.
Hmm.
That was a big, you know, it was kind of a real direction. He said, I want to kind of push you away from the soul thing. You kind of have done that enough. Let's try to do some other things. So, yeah, mm-hmm. it's soul music with influence of disco, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, you know, that era of early, you know, the kind of the birth of disco.
Mm-hmm.
Acid rocks, some psych stuff in there. Cassiano, who's a Brazilian artist, was also a sort of a benchmark, and Smokey Robinson's first solo record.
Hmm.
So that you kind of throw all those together, and you mm-hmm. end up with a melting pot.
Well played. Yeah, I definitely can hear, especially in you kind of naming the artist, kind of hear those sounds throughout, you know, especially that kind of Motown vibe, Move On, mm-hmm. in the fully recorded version as opposed to the acoustic one you just finished playing for us a bit. Also, you know, since you have roots in the Bay Area,
yep,
right?
Yeah,
it seems like there's also a pretty strong Sly influence and also a pretty strong Shuggy Otis influence, especially coming out through some of the softer tracks. And could you maybe talk a little bit about that kind of experience or influence of San Francisco and Bay Area scene in
your music? Absolutely. You know, I spent most of my life in San Francisco from there originally, and Shuggy Otis and Sly Stone were always huge inspirations to me from the beginning, mm-hmm. you know. And Daniel Colias, who was, you know, one of the producers of the record, he's also from the Bay Area. And he's been out in New York for years and years now. And we met there through a mutual friend, Bart Davenport, who's another guy from the Bay Area, singer-songwriter.
Yeah, I know Bart. I used to live in the Bay Area for quite a while.
Okay.
I lived in Oakland for almost 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Sly and the Family Stone for Daniel and I is a major, major influence. Mm-hmm. That's just a part of – it's in our blood, you know. So this new record – those other artists that I mentioned, those are the people who are, okay, we're kind of looking for that aesthetic. But Sly Stone and Shuggy Otis was already there. You know, it's just, it permeates who we are. It's such a huge, I mean, Shuggy Otis is from down here, but his sound and his vibe was very kind of Northern California, I feel mm-hmm. like, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and for years, you know, like I came up in the 90s, early 90s even, around all these heavy record dudes, Cool Chris and, mm-hmm. and Romanowski and, you know, all those parties and all those clubs where there's all these DJs playing all that kind of music.
Yeah.
So it just sort of, you know, over a long period of time just became, I think, it's just kind of become a part of who I am. You know?
Yeah, that was the thing that also kind of struck me about the record and how it has this kind of organic flow between styles. Sometimes between songs, sometimes within songs. Remind me kind of less of kind of a, I'm trying to think of how to say it, kind of like a more of like a purist approach mm-hmm. to a kind of retro sound, kind of like what you get with Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings,
right.
where it's a very specific sound from a specific time period,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of add their own elements to it.
Mm-hmm.
But this seemed to be kind of, I think that's part of the reason why I think of it as kind of postmodern, where there's all these different influences kind of mixed in. Reminded me a lot of like the acid jazz and Rare Groove scene of the early 90s. And that was another thing I wanted to ask you, what kind of influence that kind of scene had on you or maybe had in kind of putting this record together.
Well, again, you know, Daniel was there then too.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel was he came on the scene in the early 90s, and he was or even before that maybe, or yeah, early 90s, and he was heavy into that world, mm-hmm. you know, just all the record heads and yeah, the acid jazz scene. I mean, it was Rare Groove, acid jazz. It was just what everybody was doing, you know, going down to Nicky's and the Elbow Room and all these old spots. Where DJs would just be playing records that none of us – I mean, they knew them. They were discovering them. But mm-hmm. people like me were just going there and just being – you know, just tapping into this wealth of knowledge and resource of music, you know, and just soaking it all up, you know.
Yeah.
I grew up listening to, you know, to radio, mostly to black radio and R&B. And so that kind of stuff in the 80s – I knew, but then when all these people started digging out all these records, and I was just like, "What is this? Where is this coming from?" You know,
yeah.
And so it really played a huge influence on me. But you know, when I was doing my own records before working with Daniel and Sean, I never worked that way. I
mm-hmm.
never worked sort of using reference points. I just made music, and you know, for better or worse, I just kind of did it and didn't think about references. This is the first record that I've made where there were specific reference points, like, okay, this song we're thinking like Arthur Lee in Love, or this song we're thinking like this. And what I always kind of resisted that because I didn't want my music to be derivative.
Hmm.
You know, but in the end, now I'm realizing all music is derivative.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, but
yeah,
in my mind, I was
escape.
Thinking, I just want to make pure music, and, uh-huh. and I don't want it to be like, oh, I'm going for this retro sound. My music ended up sounding retro.
Yeah.
But with this approach, I realized that even if you're going for something, and this is kind of what I think what you're commenting on,
mm-hmm.
even if you have a reference point and you're going for that, along the way, you end up adding your own thing, and it becomes something else a bit, you know. And that's what I hope has happened with this.
Yeah. What do you think about – because I think that you certainly should be put in kind of with a number of other artists that are right now in this kind of, you know, several years long kind of soul revival that's going on, especially, you know, thinking – down here, though, he's a Detroit transplant, but mostly spends his time in L.A., Mayor Hawthorne and Sharon Jones and, you know, a number of artists like that. How do you feel about kind of this? It seems like a kind of movement that really can be called kind of a soul revival or almost like a retro soul movement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you think about that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I've seen now a couple of those. You know, when I first really started getting serious about writing my songs and making music, that's when Maxwell and D'Angelo came on the scene. And that was like, I was like, whoa, finally some dudes that are doing soul the way that I want to hear it, you know.
Yeah.
And I was a big fan of them. I still am, you know. And so I kind of at the time was thinking that maybe what I'm doing will kind of be seen by that. But I wasn't developed enough at that point, I don't think. And, you know, then between then, and then I think, you know, I sort of watched Sharon Jones and those guys develop because I had a friend in who's from Germany who's part of a group called the Poets of Rhythm.
Okay.
Jan Weissenfeld. And he hit me to that whole world of those guys in New York. It was Philip and what was it, Soulfire Records and, you know, Desco and all of these kind of guys that were doing this kind of really underground, purest soul stuff, you know. And and then so I kind of was aware of it from the beginning and just sort of watched it. And they just honed their craft and made it something really amazing, you know. So now that you've got, you know, Mayor Hawthorne coming on the scene. He's great. I've seen him play live. He's fantastic. We played with Phenomenal Hand Clap Band at a festival. Same stage with him in Croatia, of all places, where we actually met. But I think it's great. You know, I don't know if I fit in with that, but I'd be happy to. You know, I'd love to play with those guys. And I should say again, Daniel Kolias. You know, he really was sort of a, I wouldn't say protege, but maybe he would consider himself of Gabe Roth. You know, who's the guy behind Depton. He worked with him. They worked on things, and he kind of came up under him. So there's definitely a connection there, you know. So I think that there's certainly an affiliation with that world, and a lot of people that I know are in that same network. So I don't know. I don't know if I've answered the question, but yeah, I think it's great. You know, I think that I think Mayor Hawthorne's doing great things. I think that Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings are doing great things. Their music, I think, is a little bit more towards the purest thing. I mean, my new record has like some, I don't know, sounds like Billy Squire rock and roll and some psychedelic disco. It's all over the map, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think it's cool.
Cool. One of the things I was really interested also, you know, not getting a chance to see the show that you did here in Los Angeles, though I'm hoping you'll be back sometime in the near future and
I'll
get a chance to see that. Just how audiences are responding, not just here in L.A., but, you know, in other parts of the States or across the world. Because it's kind of a strange, you know, mix both orally and then visually too, you know, hearing the sounds and having them kind of from all these different places and then, you know, having the name be Chinese in Mandarin and the guy who's playing it be this kind of burly white dude with a lot of facial hair, you know. So like I just wonder like how audiences kind of respond both to it in terms of the sound and also kind of, especially since you were saying that kind of when you originally started doing the Bing Jiling thing, it was almost like a full kind of production.
Yeah.
So I was just interested in kind of how people respond to this project.
Yeah, you know, I think that people are always a little surprised, you know. They sort of assume that I'm going to sound a certain way because of the way I look.
Yeah.
Or people who just hear the name, they assume I'm Chinese because it's a Chinese sounding name, you know. But I don't know. I think that, you know, hopefully when I start playing and people see that, they kind of start – it starts to make sense to them, you know. Hopefully they say, okay, well, he lived in China. He's from San Francisco. He likes soul music, and this is what happened, you know. That's just the explanation of who I am, where I'm coming from. And I don't know. I hope that people kind of piece that together, and I hope that they like seeing that, you know, that what I'm doing is a composite of the life I'm living, you know.
Yeah. Now you also DJ.
Yeah.
And in fact, you were spinning in a couple of spots, including Dance Riot over at La Cita, mm-hmm. which is a fantastic spot.
Yeah, tomorrow night.
And I was one of the other things I was wondering about whether they're kind of I think you may have answered this earlier, but did you get into the music in terms of instrument playing and singing first or DJing first?
No. DJing came way later.
Okay.
I grew up in a very musical household and, you know, was always singing and took like a year of piano lessons, which then I foolishly begged my mom to let me stop doing. and then in high school, junior high school and high school, I was in band. So I was always, you know, I was writing songs when I was in high school, you know. And was doing that for years, and then, you know, eventually came on the scene with like all the DJs and the clubs in San Francisco and the acid jazz movement that we were talking about, and the Rare Groove and all that stuff, mm-hmm. and became good friends with a couple of specific DJs from the Bay Area that are, you know, well known guys now, Cool Chris and Romanowski and. Mm-hmm. And other people as well, and just sort of was hanging out with them all the time. And I lived with Roman, who's a heavy record dude and an amazing DJ, one of my favorite DJs ever, and just sort of learned about that world. And, mm-hmm. and then kind of also was floating around in the early 90s rave scene and going to those kind of parties, which were really eclectic at the time. They weren't your glow stick, you know, Genko jeans kind of things. They were they were real parties and of all, you know, music that's reflective of what I'm doing now, you know, some rock, some disco, some soul, whatever. And it wasn't actually until I guess about 10 years ago that I finally bought my own set of turntables. I had been buying records for years with these guys because mm-hmm. we'd go to thrift stores and flea markets for fun all day long.
Yeah.
And they'd be buying records, Chris to sell, you know, Roman to play and Chris to play as well. Mm-hmm. And I was just buying them and, oh, what's this?
Yeah.
Eventually I had an ocean of records and just said,
yeah, that's some pretty good company you were keeping there.
And so eventually I just started, you know, just really getting interested in doing it myself. I mean, I screwed around with it on their turntables when we were just partying or hanging out. But so then it became, and really it was when I moved to New York about 7 years ago that I started DJing professionally. Mm. But prior to that, I had started producing dance music with Chris under the name Copa that you mentioned before. So it's been kind of a, you know, it was definitely later for me.
Do you find that your approach as a DJ or a producer is different from your approach in the other musical endeavors that you do?
Yes, absolutely.
How so?
Well, you know, my musical, you know, when I'm doing Bing Jiling stuff, when I'm writing songs, it starts with a musical idea in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm walking down the street. Move on. I'm just, you know, starting to get this little idea in my head. And it starts – the best songs usually come when you sort of hear the lyrics and the melody and a chord progression underneath it in your head. And then it's just pick up the guitar and do it and you just make it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, the dance music stuff starts from a totally different way. If I'm working with Chris, then it's all sample based, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's just giving me all these samples that were thrown into the computer, and then hacking them up and making a new track out of it, you mm-hmm. know. Or another, you know, other dance music that I do, it starts with, you know, either jamming little jam ideas and bass lines, or you know, maybe a drum, you know, get a drum machine going, and so it's a total different approach. It's kind of like building something from the ground up, mm-hmm. whereas the songs come in like sort of finished, and it's about filling the foundation beneath it.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's really that's what it is. It's coming from two different places, you know.
Huh. Yeah. And what now that this record's done, I would imagine, just because it seems like you are a really busy dude, that you got to be moving on to something new with one of the many kind of situations. Like, are we going to get some new music from Phenomenal Handclap Band in this year or the next? Or are you and Chris working on something new with Copa?
Well, let's see. I can break it down for you.
Okay.
Because it's been crazy. You know, the last 2 years I've been – pretty much full-time Phenomenal Handclap Band.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you know, a year and a half ago, we made this Bing Jiling record. It's just coming out now.
Mm-hmm.
I did another record called Incarnations with Bart Davenport and also Daniel Kolias that came out last fall. That was just like a side project that we just – a little recording project. We went to the south of Spain for 10 days and made this record. If you haven't heard that one, I got to get you hip to that too.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, appreciate it.
What's that?
I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. So there's Phenomenal Hand Clap Man, which is sort of the main project. There's Bing Jiling, which is my solo thing I've been doing for a long time. And Incarnations, that's kind of also got some stuff happening right now in Europe. Mm-hmm. So over the next year, I'm going to be – and Phenomenal Hand Clap Band just finished a new record,
okay,
to answer your question. In January and February, we recorded a new album in London.
Okay.
So that should be coming out the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Bing Jiling record's out now, and the Incarnations record's already out. So I'm the next year is going to be me – trying to do Bing Jiling and Incarnations between whenever – before and between when Phenomenal Hand Clap Band is – because Phenomenal Hand Clap Band's profile is the highest. And, you know, it's got the most momentum behind it. So that's kind of, you know, you follow the path of the least resistance and try to do everything else along the way. Yeah. Cool. Chris and I, we did some edits recently that came out for the Groove Merchant compilation,
okay,
the 20th year anniversary. Some edits of some old tracks. And, you know, he lives in San Francisco. I live in New York. You know, it's tough for us to get together and do it, but I would love nothing more than to do that, because those Copa tracks are real, you know, big for me, because they're sort of a manifestation of all the years I spent going to parties and clubs in San Francisco.
Yeah.
You know, and then finally being like, all right, I'm going to mix some of this stuff too, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like I was saying at the beginning of the interview, it was just kind of like one of those, like, light bulb moments where it was like, oh. Oh, that's that dude. Oh, yeah. It was really kind of shocking and surprising in a way, especially because you've been recording as Bing Jiling for a while,
uh-huh,
and I just hadn't heard that uh-huh stuff in the midst of all this other stuff. But
right,
to then link it all together was
Trust me, it's crazy for me too to keep track of it all.
And you're the one doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
You think we could get you to perform a couple more songs?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So we've been talking to Bing Jiling here at KPFK and Melting Pot. We're going to get him to perform a couple more songs right here on 90.7 FM.
Babe, I don't love you no more. And I'm pretty sure you feel the same way too. But I don't mind it. Would it be behind us? Talk about what we need to do. Can we love just like we used to do? Headed off on my own way. We've been drifting apart for quite some time. What can I say? Let me tell you something else that's on my mind. Can we love just like we used to do? Just for a second, let's just say that we have something special. Since we're reflecting, why not leave it and relax? Ooh. Babe, I don't love you no more. And I'm pretty sure you feel the same way too, but I don't mind it. Behind us, talk about what we need to do. Can we love just like we used to do? Can we love just like we used to do? Can we love just like we used to? Can we love just like we used to do? Can we love just like we used to? Can we love just like we used to do? Thank you. Catalina. Na 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 na, when are we gonna be together, Catalina? La 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 la, ain't nobody gonna treat you better. I know we just met, but I'm pretty sure of it. So I thought I'd let you know just where I'm at, Catalina. Na 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 na, when are we gonna be together, Catalina? La 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 la, ain't nobody gonna treat you better. Your eyes, your hair, your lips, they make me stare. You look so sweet, I can't wait to see what's underneath, Catalina. Na 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 na, when are we gonna be together, Catalina? La 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 la, ain't nobody gonna treat you better. And if you ever need somebody to cry on, say, baby, I'm the kind of guy you can rely on. And if you work yourself or something and your child just can't get jumping, I'd be pleased to do the pumping away.
Just heard a couple more songs from Bing Jiling performed live in our studios here at KPFK. I just want to thank you so much for coming through, man.
It was my pleasure, really.
Yeah,
really.
It was really, really nice to have you in here. Hopefully, the next time you're around in LA, we might be able to either get a DJ set from you or maybe bring in the full band.
That would be cool.
You know,
would love that.
Yeah, we'll see how the time works, if it's, you know, still with this or Phenomenal Hand Clap is coming through. But either way, much appreciated.
Right on. Thank you for having me.
Okay, we're going to close out with another song from the record. This is one we talked about quite a bit, and you heard an acoustic version of it earlier. It's Move On, once again, from Bing Jiling. The name of the record is Shadow to Shine, and you're hearing it on KPFK's Melting Pot.